special interest to television opera lovers. Next Saturday night, you can see The Girl with the Golden Chest, produced by Hugh Weldon. I'm sorry, I'll read that again. Next Saturday night, you can see The Girl of the Golden West, seduced by Hugh Weldon.
This is I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, an extravaganza especially written for the wireless by several persons and featuring a number of performers.
Come in, Mr. Layton. Do come in, please. Do sit down. Make yourself at home. Good. So you're interested in joining the Secret Service, right?
Yes, sir.
Splendid, splendid. Now, in this branch, we need alert, intelligent, active young men with good nerve. You have a good nose, have you?
I think so, sir.
Good, good. They're absolutely essential in the kind of work that we're all connected with in this department, as you can well understand. Look out! Look out! There's an earwig on the desk. Don't move. It's all right. Don't panic. Pop. See me kill it? Nerves like steel, is it? Now, name?
Smith.
Mm-hmm. Christian names?
12, sir.
Very well. Let's have them all, then.
No, my Christian name is 12, sir.
Oh. Come from a large family?
No, sir. 3.
That's small for a large family. Now, what nationality was your father?
English.
English, yes. Where was he born?
Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires. That's Somerset, isn't it?
No, it's in the Argentine.
Argentine? Oh, yes, silly of me, not Somerset. Of course it's not. It doesn't even sound like Somerset, does it? Not Buenos Aires, no. That's in the Argentine, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I thought it was. Right, your mother, where was she born?
In southern Russia, sir.
Ah, some kind of stepmother, eh?
No.
Can't be too careful, you know. I've got a check up. She wasn't a Czech, was she?
No, sir.
Oh, just as well. We don't accept checks. Of course, we take cross-checks, but not double-cross-checks, because if you double-cross a check, that makes him cross. You ever come across a double-cross check?
No, sir.
Good. Now, what languages do you speak? French?
Yes, sir.
Good. German? Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Ja, ich spreche wenig Deutsch, und ich wundere, was er ausgestehen Bungenhäuser.
You're not German, are you?
No, sir.
Just as well. We don't want krauts in the Secret Service, you know? Not as bad as the Japs, mind you. They climb over the filing cabinet now, do you see them? They're after the strawberries. Do you want a strawberry?
Why do you want to join the Secret Service?
Well,
why do you want to join the Secret Service?
Well,
why do you want to join the Secret Service?
Yes. Well,
can you keep a secret?
Yes, I think so.
Good, good, good. Now, any good codes?
No, I'm afraid not.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. What would you say to the purple wombat claps its feet?
I'm afraid I haven't the faintest idea.
Come along, man. Come along. Have a go. Have a go.
Well, really, I mean,
well, come on. Say something. It doesn't matter what.
Well, the walls of Jericho are slimy green.
What? Don't talk such nonsense, man. Well, that's all then. That's all then. You're in. Now, I must equip you for your first mission. Now, do you see this?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what it is?
Yes, sir. It's a watch.
Good. Well done. Now, do you know how to use one?
Yes, sir.
Good man, good man. Now, do you know what this is?
Yes, sir. It's the watch.
Oh, yes, so it is. Smart work. Well done. Now, we're going to give you this watch. What do you say?
Thank you.
Good, good. Now, you're going to need something to look after yourself with, or to look with after yourself. Now, look at this little job. It's a Brenner Davis .56 automatic continental style grip, reversible Mashwitz muzzle like the Luger, telescopic barrel, holds 16, and it's got the new Swedish concentric sights. Oh, one thing, keep the flint dry. Now, with it, you'll need this Doberman knee holster and this white flag. Be very careful with the flag, but if you're in trouble, don't hesitate to use it.
Thank you, sir.
That's a lot, then. Incidentally, I'd like to compliment you on your English. Excellent.
Thank you, sir.
Not at all.
Goodbye, sir.
Bye. Hello? Ah, hello, number one. I'll have to watch this new chap, you know. Mad as a hatter.
I say potato.
I say
potato.
I say tomato.
And I say tomato.
Potato.
Potato.
Tomato.
Potato.
Let's go the whole thing on. I say neither.
And I say tomato.
I say neither.
And I say tomato.
Neither.
Tomato.
Neither.
Tomato.
And now over to Kempton Park.
Here at Ascot, we join the Entrecote Stakes with just over 3 furlongs to go. 3 furlongs to go, and it's rhubarb tart leading from one bat to second. Wounded nuns coming up on the stand side. Cigarette girls fourth, and Beethoven's fifth. And as they come round into the straight now, it's rhubarb tart from one bat to second with wounded nun challenging. And 5 furlongs to go, 5 furlongs, and they're coming up to the 8th fence. And they're all over safely, and it's only 6.5 furlongs to go. And Wounded Nuns moved into second place as they leave the race course and go out onto the M1. And it's Rhubarb Tart on the fast lane from Wounded Nun, one by the second, third, Beethoven's fourth, and Frying Pan's moved into 5th place. And now over to Paul Billingham in Ipswich.
As they thunder towards me now, it's Rhubarb Tart, still from Wounded Nun, with Frying Pan moving up to challenge one by two, and to see how they fare at the North Sea jump over to Mike Branton at Dover.
And as they come towards the first double, it's still Rhubarb Tart in the lead, and they're all checking in at the customs. And... and Wombat the second has refused there. And in fact, quite a few are being stopped by this fence, but Beethoven's over, so is Wounded Nun, and as the rest of the field come up to take this fence, we join Pierre at Boulogne.
Oh, Wombat Tart has just jumped the English Channel and has gone racing on towards Germany.
Here in Berlin, I can just see now that Wounded Nun and Rhubarb Tart are going to take the Berlin Wall together. And they're over in the field, is scattered, yes, scattered over Europe now as we follow the leaders who have taken a sharp right turn towards Africa. And with Beethoven joining the leaders, they jump the Suez Canal turn. And while the leaders race away down the Burma Road, we hear that there have been some terrible falls at Niagara.
Frying Pan faltered at Malta and Gibraltar and then fell at the Zanzibar. And now, back to the leaders again as we hear that Rhubarb Tart has come Acropolis over Athens.
Last double, it's Beethoven and Wounded Nun over the Great Wall of China and the Iron Curtain, and I'm afraid there we must leave them, but we'll bring you the result when the race finishes on December 25th at Christmas Island. So, from the Grand International, back to the studio.
Say grapefruit.
I say tomato.
I say marmalade.
And I say tomato.
Today there is a boom in country and western songs, and we know why. It's because these songs always tell about the strange and wonderful adventures that have actually happened to real people. Like this.
See us a song, man!
All about real people.
And real adventures.
I was down in old Virginia in the year of 62. The sun was red, the fields were green, and the sky was deepest blue. The rain that fell was always wet, the snow was always white. The sun shone bright the whole day long, and the moon came out at night. Shucks!
Oh, the wind was free, take me back to the wild country. There's nothing like the sights you see when you're a traveling man.
That's fantastic! Tell us another one, Luke.
Well, I was up in Houston in the year of 63. There is grass in all the meadows and leaves on every tree. You know, the towns were full of houses with people passing through. In fact, it all reminded me of Virginia in 62.
Oh, the wind will speed, take me back to the wild country. There's nothing like the sight you see when you're a traveling man.
I can hardly believe it.
I can't hear enough of these old stories.
We rode upon our horses with shoes upon our feet.
No.
We had water there for drinking and food which we could eat. And every step the horses took went forward down the track. When we reached our destination, we turned around and came right back.
Let's have another one, cool.
Amazing. Tell us another one.
I've traveled long, I've traveled hard, and many sights I've seen. And many are the memories of the places I have been. But of the many wonders, I think that I can claim that everyone was different, and no two were the same.
Oh, the wind blows free, take me back to love country. There's nothing like the sights you see when you're a traveling man. Oh, the wind blows free, take me back to the wild country. There's nothing
like
to see when you're a traveling man.
Here's another one.
Well, there he is,
to my husband.
I'm terribly sorry, Mrs. Anderson, but I'm afraid we'll just have to put him to sleep.
Dear, do you have to?
Well, it's kinder to them in the long run, you know.
I suppose so. Oh, it's the children. They treated him almost like one of the family. Oh, he'd get down and they'd ride on his back. He were like a dog to them.
Yes, he was a wonderful old thing.
He is, Doctor.
Quite. But, well, he's getting on a bit, you know. For a man, that is.
Yeah. His hair's falling out. And when we have visitors, he's always rolling over on his back for them to tickle his tummy.
Yes, he's hardly up to shows in that condition, is he? Oh,
goodness me, no. He's not been further than the end of the street for I don't know how long.
Really?
To be honest, he's never really been the kind of husband you'd put on show. His legs are too far apart.
He is rather big, isn't he?
Oh, yes. Actually, since we moved into the flat, there's hardly been room for him. And don't they grow? When I first had him, you'll not believe this, he was like one of them little tiny cuddly men. I thought he was full grown then. Quite frankly, I think they tell me wrong about him. I mean, he's huge.
Nice, no fun for them when they're like that, you know.
He must be suffering, mustn't he?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, go on then, quick, before I change my mind. Oh, how much is it?
10 guineas, please.
Oh, it's gone up since the last one.
Now, Minister, where does the British government stand on the iceberg question?
That's a very good question. I'm glad you asked me that. If I may give you the statistics relating to the number of battery hens now to be found in southwestern England...
But surely they're not relevant to the question.
I know, but if I give you the figures, you'll probably get bored and go away.
I see. But I don't see why you are unwilling to comment on the iceberg situation. Surely it's not a party issue.
No, absolutely not. No, it's definitely not a party issue. Mind you, the opposition seemed determined to turn it into one, judging from their complete indifference to the matter.
But you just said it wasn't a party issue. Why do you try to make it one?
Now, let's be fair. You introduced the subject, not me.
Yes, but I said it wasn't a party issue.
I couldn't agree with you more. But there's more to this iceberg problem than meets the eye, you see. 12/13, to be exact. But don't assume that the government intends to sit on the fence, or indeed on the iceberg. Next question.
But you still haven't answered the first question.
Yeah, I'm glad you made that point. That is entirely true, yes.
Are you going to?
Ah, I thought you were going to ask me that. Now, you see, Her Majesty's government has decided to set up a commission to inquire into the whole question of icebergs with wide terms of reference to include not only icebergs, but also frozen water, ice floes, glaciers, drifting pack ice, glaze frost, and teenage immorality.
Teenage immorality?
Well, that's what they're really interested in. And we hope that they'll be publishing their interim report early in the new century.
I see.
Now, I wish you'd go away. I want to feed my hamsters.
One last question, Minister. You've announced that you'll be resigning at the end of the year. Why is that?
Well, I've been in the Cabinet for 18 months now, and that's quite long enough to get a good job in industry.
I see.
And now here is an announcement of special interest to old joke lovers. In an effort to promote better parliamentary relations, the Prime Minister, Sir Alec Douglas Hume, today invited leading members of the opposition to shoot at his ancestral seat.
Farmyard impersonations. On top of yonder nearby tree is a double-headed crankshaft. It says. It replies.
Here comes Farmer Giles in his squeaky old boots.
Squeak, bump, squeak, bump, squeak, bump. He has a wooden leg. Having had some trouble with a combine harvester. At harvest time. He did not attend Thanksgiving.
Here comes Mrs. Giles.
Squeak, bump, squeak, bump. Neither did she.
And George, their son.
Squeak, squeak, bump, squeak, squeak, bump.
Why should he care?
In the farmhouse, Mrs. Giles is strumming a banjo, playing snap, and teaching herself French from gramophone records.
What a pity she's out of earshot. In yonder nearby field are a lot of yonder nearby sheep of all ages and sizes. How did he get in there? Oh, yes, he got in through a gate that was left open by a singing old tramp.
I'm only a strolling vagabond, so good night, pretty maiden, good night.
Yes, good night. But the silly old tramp has dropped a silly old lit cigarette end into the unlighted haystack, in which George and Marjorie the milkmaid are already smouldering. Listen. Smolder, 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 smolder. We will leave them there for the moment. Says the double-headed crankshaft. Cocky little. The bird, isn't he? Mrs. Giles notices the haystack and, being full of country common sense, whispers, fire! And Farmer Giles does so. Says the single-headed crankshaft. And so, as the evening sky is lit by the warm glow, we must leave the Giles family in their idyllic rusticity, while on a lonely hilltop, a solitary bird calls to her mate.
Well, boys, I'm very glad to welcome you all back for a new term, and I hope it'll be a very happy one. Who did that? I'm waiting. I have no intention of continuing until the boy who did that owns up. If the boy who did that doesn't own up, I shall be forced to continue. Very well, I shall continue. I'd like to welcome all the new boys, but I can't because there aren't any, and similarly, those who left last term are no longer here. Oh, and, Chaplain, there's a broken window in the gym. Would you mend it, please? That's part of your job. Now, secondly, I'd like to welcome Mr. Tidmarsh to the teaching staff. He will be taking the middle school in all those shooting little subjects nobody else wants to teach. But he's very highly qualified for a grammar school man, and I'm sure he will be an invaluable member of the staff. And in time, a valuable one. And if I find any boy making fun of Mr. Tidmarsh's deformity, I shall punish him. Even if it is funny. Would you get me some of my tablets, Chaplain? I can feel a fit coming on. Now, what's next? Oh, yes, carpentry. Carpentry must be taken more seriously this term. Otherwise, we won't get the gym built by June. Now, Major Phillips won't be taking carpentry this term. He's in the nut house. 2 world wars and he never turned a hair. 6 weeks here and he's running around the field stark naked at a home match. I mean, I'm all for a little gentle fun between masters and boys, but crucifixion. So, as a token of our gratitude to poor Major Phillips for what he did for us and what we did to him, I'm going to send him on behalf of you all a nice large slice of bread. And a Mr. Carter is coming up from the town to take carpentry instead, and I'd like to silence this rumour that he's an escaped convict. This is absolutely untrue. He has, in fact, served his sentence. and Chaplain, why isn't the bacon slicer working? Chaplain, if I see you reading that Bible again, I shall confiscate it. Put it away. Now, Rugger. Ah, Rugger. Well, I think we've got our chance of producing a jolly good team this year now that Mr. Mason has left. Anyway, good luck, and Watson, get your hair cut. And I found this knife in my study. Is it yours, Tendler? The blood on it is rhesus positive. Get it afterwards, boy, not now. Now, finally, there are 2 school rules I want to remind you about. Secondly, boys may not walk behind the gym between the end of short break and the beginning of the 4th period unless they're in the top game and not on the sick list, unless going to a music lesson, in which case they should get my permission. Or on Fridays, tell the senior master and then get permission from whoever is in room 4 in Boadicea House, and in any case, they should wear Wellington boots unless the ground is dry, and any doubt about that, and they'd better ask you, Chaplain. Any boy who breaks this rule will be expelled. And firstly, any boy found hanging from the wall bars will be found hanging from the wall bars. Oh, yes, and the lino is loose in the changing room, Chaplain. Oh, by the way, Chaplain, why wasn't there confirmation last term? You forgot? What do you mean you've got too much to do?
Oh, don't cry, ma'am, not in front of the boys. Oh, how wet. Come and see me afterwards, I'm going to beat you. Well, that's all, boys, when I re... That's all, boys, and when I ring the bell for the first lesson, I want you all to go and get your hair cut. Thank God somebody here has got an orderly mind. It's safari time. And once again, our hosts are Marmot and Delilah Mentz.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Delilah and I have just returned from 6 months in Serengeti, the National Park of Tanganyika.
Yes, Marmot and I in the National Park of Serengeti for 6 months.
Yes, both of us in Serengeti. Here on the film, you can see us at our camping site.
Look, here is little Ricky, our baby mongoose, frolicking.
Look at him frolic.
But where are our other pets?
Aha, here they come. This is little Rodney, our little baby walk-on. And this is Esmeralda, our hooded vulture. Esmeralda is enjoying her breakfast.
Poor little Rodney.
But soon we are on our way, speeding across the arid plain of Serengeti. The plain was teeming with all manner of creatures.
Where are they all going?
Wait and see. Here they are at the waterhole. We halted the convoy and moved closer, trying to get as near as we can before the animals caught our smell. This is always a most exciting moment for us, as we never know what we may find.
This time, by good fortune, we were lucky.
Yes, an African water rat. This species is in danger of extinction because unscrupulous native hunters stuffed them for tourists. There he goes, poor fellow, another one gone. But what are coming here?
Zebra!
No, hippo and rhino. Come to frolic and froth in the muddy water.
Look at Mummy Hippo washing her little one.
But now two rhino have disagreed over the beautiful lady. See them clash their tusks together in a prehistoric battle for survival.
Look at the zebra!
To hell with the zebra! Look at the rhino! An incredible sight.
But soon we were on our way.
Near sundown, as Delilah stepped from the charabang, she gave a little squeal.
Ah.
There on the track, unmistakable traces of lion. Look, there, and there, and there. Sure enough, in the distance we could see them, a pride of lion. We dispatched Jojo, our faithful native bearer, to investigate. Alas, poor Jojo cannot see what we can see. A stray lion has wandered from the pride and come between Jojo and the charabang. There was nothing we could do, even if we had wanted to. The king of beasts sprang. It was all over in a quarter of an hour. Now see again the spring in slow motion. See those legs kick. Alas, in vain.
Esmeralda, our pet vulture, was first on the scene as we carried poor Jojo to a nearby native village. Here lived the primitive Ubuntu tribe. A tall, graceful people with tattoos in the strangest places.
Look, there and there and there. I had to go into the bush on a mission that could not be delayed.
While Marmot was away, I joined in the funeral rites for poor Jojo. As the primitive rhythm seized hold of my senses, I abandoned myself completely to the primeval forces of the jungle.
When I return, I find Delilah has made many friends. Look, there and there and there. But I fear we can show you no more tonight. Next week we shall be returning to Africa, and I shall be going to the Bongo foothills.
And I shall be returning to the Ubuntu. Good night.
Good night, Delilah. Oh, before I go, ladies and gentlemen, I shall be here again in a fortnight's time with some exciting human interest pictures of the flooding of the Ubuntu Valley. Good night.
And now to Germany.
that time which exists only in musicals, where every prince is a student, every day a holiday, and every cue is for a song, come to the beer garden in Heidelberg.
Now we must greet one another.
Hello, Fritz.
Hello, Billy.
Hello, Fritz and Billy.
How do you know our names?
They always use the same names in these German musicals.
Ah, then you must be Hans, or possibly Otto.
I am certainly not Otto.
No, and neither am I. We must get a fire in here. Don't you find it chilly, Billy?
Better?
I don't mind if I do. More beer.
Hooray! Why?
Because today is a holiday.
Hooray! Why?
In Heidelberg, every day is a holiday. Every day is a holiday in Heidelberg.
Heidelberg!
We can all be a jolly day in Heidelberg.
Heidelberg!
And be a melancholy day and... Oh, I've forgotten the words.
I'm the messenger. Who are you?
Hans.
Fritz. And Bumsiday.
Well then, attend, hark, heed, hear ye, list, listen, oh yea, pay attention, pin back your ears.
I think he wants to tell us something.
Then let him.
The prince will soon be here.
Be here?
Here! Here!
Ale? I don't mind if I do.
Oh, Prince, since you are a prince, you must be our leader.
Then I shall fall in love with him.
Don't say that, Missy. Can't you see Hans is lovesick?
My darling, I love you.
I cannot marry until I have inherited my father's fortune. But I am expecting. I am expecting... prompt.
Expecting a message any minute.
A message for the prince.
I am the prince. What is your message?
Even now your father lies upon his funeral bier. Your father is... dead.
Now I'm owner of all the breweries in Westphalia.
Hooray!
I'm the owner of all the breweries in Westphalia.
Failure! La 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 la.
There's no owner who is more heartier or hailier. Whenever the beer begins to flow, whenever your cheeks begin to glow, you're certain to lose your senses, so three hearty cheers.
Hooray!
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 Three hearty cheers. Oh, now I can be a great success and not a failure. Now I can wear a carnation in my buttonhole instead of a dahlia. I'm terribly glad that I'm the prince, especially now that I'm convinced that I'm the owner of everything since my father's dead.
He's dead! He's dead!
He's dead!
He's dead.
He's dead.
My father's dead!
Oh!
I'm the owner of all the glories in Westphalia.
Hey!
Hey! La 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 la. But they simply do not manufacture the best ale here.
I'm sorry, we'll sing that again.
Not now, dear.
And now, here is an announcement of special interest to the BBC Programme Accounts Department. This programme, I'm sorry, I'll read that again, was written and performed by Jim Brooke Taylor, Anthony Buffery, John Cleese, David Hatch, Joe Kendall and Bill Oddie, who was late for rehearsal. Music by Hugh MacDonald and Bill Oddie, musical director...